Al said to me this morning, that's an interesting passage for Father's Day. I'm interested to hear what you have to say. And I was like, yeah, I'm interested as well to see what I have to say. We're in interesting times. We're in a world that is controlled by media. And masculinity is not celebrated in this media-driven culture. Probably because for years, masculinity has been promoted as domination and power and control over people. Today, it even seems like what used to be classified as feminine characteristics are the characteristics that are promoted in men and boys. It's a strange, strange time. The whole conversation about masculinity and femininity is flawed, because it's done without taking into account that people are sinners and controlled by sin. Masculinity and femininity are messed up because of sin. It's impossible for the world to promote a general foundational view of masculinity and femininity. They can't do it. So people are doing what is right in their own eyes, which makes everything such a huge mess. But as God's children, saved through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are in this world, but not of this world. Meaning, we live here in this culture, but follow the way and living that God, our true King, through the Bible, has laid out for us. And this passage of 1 Corinthians 4, I want to interact with it and apply it to dads on this Father's Day. Because the potential is there to wake us, all of us men, wake us up and set us on a path of not being nice men, but being godly men, spiritual dads to our biological kids, and even to our church family children. So this could be a life-changing day for you and I, setting us on a different way of thinking and believing and living. So let's pray to that end and then look at God's word. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you, submissive to you. We want to hear your word, and we want to be changed. We want you to cut through these walls that we've got up, this walls of thinking, this set pattern that we have lived. We don't want to just go along with that. We want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from Edgar. We want to hear from you. So, Father, penetrate our minds and our hearts. Do your work, your Holy Spirit's work. Use my words for your benefit. Lord, don't leave us the same. Change us, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in verses 14 to 17, the Apostle Paul said to the Christians in Corinth, I urge you then, be imitators of me. He is warning them not to go the world's way, but to follow the Lord. And he knew that they needed an example of what that's like. So he pointed to himself. He even sent Timothy, another godly man, to remind you of my ways in Christ. To remind them of Paul's ways of living out his life as worship unto the Lord. He loves these Christians. He calls them my beloved children. He brought them the gospel message of Jesus Christ and nurtured their understanding of God and his word. He saw himself as their father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And he took that role seriously. His children needed an example to follow. They needed a flawed, repenting, persevering worshiper of Jesus Christ to show them what a worshiper of Jesus looks like. Imitate me, your spiritual father, as I follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let's apply this to ourselves, dads. if we were to follow this passage, this piece of scripture, and imitate Paul, we would be living our lives in worship of God and helping our kids know and follow God, discipling our kids. We would be spiritual fathers living out God's truth and passing on God's truth, passing on Paul's example by being an example to our kids. And what were those ways in Christ that Paul was talking about, that he mentioned in verse 17? What are those ways so that we too could imitate and pass on and be imitated by our kids? Well, verse 6 says that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. What is written is in the Bible. That's what he's referring to. So he modeled sticking to God's word, how God instructed to live, not going outside of that. That was Paul's ways in Christ, Paul's ways of living. We also find in Philippians 1, verse 21 to 22, Paul's big general way of living in Christ. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." So Paul's ways in Christ was everything, all of living, being about and for the Lord Jesus Christ. All the ordinary things in life, all the joys, the sufferings, the goals were about Jesus Christ. That's why he persevered through such harsh circumstances like verses 9 through 13. A spectacle to the world, considered a fool, weak, dishonored, going hungry and thirsty, poorly dressed, beaten, homeless, working hard, slandered, seen as garbage, cursed and persecuted, yet giving back blessings and kindness and enduring. How could he be like that? How could he do that? Because life was about Christ. He's the purpose. He's the reason for living. He is the power. He empowers him. He sustains him. He's worth everything and anything. That was Paul's ways in Christ. What true worshiper of God, what dad doesn't want to be that way, to be about Jesus Christ with all his life? And Paul, this spiritual, godly father example, wanted his children to have the same joy-filled, abundant life in Jesus Christ that he had. So he paid attention to his spiritual children, guiding them in their worship of God through his example and through his teaching. That's what we need to be about, dads. All about Jesus, which includes paying attention to our children, guiding them in their worship of God through our example and teaching them God's truth, being that steady person, perhaps the only one in our kids' lives, that brings Jesus to them in word and in our actions. But that's huge. How do we do that? How are you going to do that? How am I going to do that? I think this passage points out the heart work that needs to take place so that we can be spiritual fathers to our kids. And the foundation to this is taking our identity from God, as Paul did in verse 1 through 8. So I'm going to walk through this. So guys, pay attention, okay? I know some of you are older than me and you might see that as rude saying pay attention. Sorry, but pay attention. Pay attention. Paul's view of himself was shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul and us, we have earned and therefore deserve the wrath of God because of our sin. But God saved us from that punishment. He gifted us with faith and repentance, and we responded by putting our faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, repenting from our sin. And God took our sin and accredited it to Jesus on the cross, and took Jesus' righteousness and accredited it to us. We are forgiven of our sin and covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what God did to us in Christ. That has been done. It's fully taken care of. We have the Holy Spirit in us, guaranteeing our eternal security in God. We are true worshipers, and we will persevere to the end of our lives here on earth, worshiping God, not perfectly, but with repentance. That is who we are in Christ. That is how Paul saw himself. And that's why he could say what he did in verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, Paul saw himself as a servant of Christ. The Greek word for servant here is used for an unrecognized, behind-the-scene type of a labor job. One of those guys that was below in the Roman ship, and he was rowing, he was unseen, but he was just laboring below, behind the scenes. That's how Paul saw himself, a servant, a nobody. No longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. And he was tasked with spreading the mysteries of God, the truth of who God is, and what he has done in his Son, through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Paul seeks to be faithful in this work, in his life, in God's eyes. He's not concerned if the church in Corinth thinks he's faithful. He said in verse 3, "But with me it is a very little thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court." He's saying their opinion of him and a court's opinion of him doesn't matter. He wasn't concerned or working hard so that people will think well of him, living a certain way so that people would think he's a faithful servant. He didn't care about their opinion. Their opinion of him did not motivate him to do the role that God has called him to do. Their opinion of him didn't change how he saw himself. It wasn't a case of Paul having a strong sense of self-worth or good self-esteem or a high view of himself. And that's why he didn't care about what others' opinions were. Verses 3 to 4 says, "I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me." So here it is. Paul knows he has been faithful to God in his role as servant and steward, but that doesn't matter to him. His self-evaluation of himself doesn't matter. His self-view doesn't matter. None of that affects whether he's faithful or not. What matters is God, the Lord, the judge, what he says, because as verse 5 says, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. God sees all of Paul's motives and ambitions and desires. He sees him completely. Paul does not. Therefore, Paul leaves the judging of his faithfulness to the one who sees and knows all, which is God alone. And he listens to what God has to say about him, the one who sees who sees him completely. What does he say about Paul? For us, imitating Paul, we need to get to the point where we stop defending ourselves, that we don't work so hard or be so consumed with what others' opinions of us are. And don't pronounce judgment on ourselves as an awesome servant or an awesome steward of God, puffing ourselves up, thinking that that's the way to be a better dad. I just got to puff myself up and get myself psyched up and motivated, and here I go, I'm going to be a good dad. That's garbage. Don't be puffed up, but be humble, knowing that God knows everything about you, all the good. And all those thoughts and actions that you've done in secret, all of that sin is known to him. Therefore, he's the only one that can be accurate about you. And whatever good thing that we have done or that we have has been given to us by the Lord. The bad we can take credit for, but the good we can't. So we have nothing to be prideful about. We come up with nothing good on our own. We continually need the Lord's goodness and his gifts. We don't reach the point of having all we need like the Corinthian church wrongly thought. Their opinion of themselves was that they had arrived and were great, seeing themselves as wealthy and comfortable, and therefore they had all they wanted. Paul does not get wrapped up in what other people thought of him as his faithfulness as a servant or as a steward of God's word. He doesn't get wrapped up in his own mental or heart gain of seeing himself as faithful. He doesn't take wealth or no wealth as a sign that he is faithful. What Paul does is listen to what the all-knowing God says about him in Christ. That's who he pays attention to. Are you catching that? It doesn't matter what Edgar thinks of himself. It doesn't matter what you think of me. What is God saying about me? That's where I need to go. And what does God say about Paul and us who are found in Jesus Christ? Romans 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 3, verse 23 to 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed. The old has passed. Passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who we are in Christ. That's our identity coming from God, who sees every single thing about you and I. Forget what so-and-so says about you. Forget what you say about yourself. Here is your starting point and finishing point of seeing yourself correctly. From here you go out and serve the Lord. From here you parent. Here you are in Christ. You are justified. You are forgiven, made righteous because he loves you. God wanted to do this for you and gifted this to you through Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus taking your punishment, giving you eternal life. You're a new creation, Dad, a child of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who you are, Dad. That's who you are. And be careful not to get unbiblical, silly about this now, saying, well, I don't have to take correction from my wife or from my friends. I can just do whatever I want. I'm just going to listen to God and then that's it. No. If we're listening to who God says we are, we will be humble and we will receive correction. We will discern correctly what's being said. But first and foremost and finally, our identity sits with God. Dads, do you want to coast through fatherhood? You want to just coast? Just do the here and now thing, a little bit here, a little bit there. Drive your kids to soccer, do this and that. Now you got adult kids. Now just whatever, still be coasting through? Do you want to be a dad according to the standards of a world that hates the Lord? Or do you want to glorify God with your fathering? Be a godly dad. Be an imitator of Paul. Be all about Jesus Christ. Give your kids a godly example to follow. Share with them God's truth that leads to a right relationship with the Lord. Life in abundance, eternal life. Share with them God's truth of who He is. Start by refusing to come up with your self-worth and identity from yourself. Die to your flawed, fickle, always changing, lame, pride-filled view of yourself. Stop trying to give yourself a therapy session and believe God's word about you. That's what matters. Listen to His powerful, heart-crushing and heart-building words of truth from the Bible, and then be a godly dad. Be an example of a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Feed yourself on God's word. Open up God's word with your kids. Be the spiritual leader and initiator in your home. The Bible, the church, that's not a mom thing to do. Therefore, you don't have to do anything. It's a dad thing to do. Well, you say you have a strong wife who is good at this stuff. Praise God. Now you step up with her. It's hard being a dad. It is. This morning I saw a daddy long legs. How fitting. A daddy long legs in my bathtub, trying to come up the side, climb up the side, and then he fell. And he tried again, and then he fell. It was just, it was hard. And then I killed him. And then it was done. It's hard being a dad. It is. We fail all the time. As dads, we've been hurt like crazy. And we will get hurt more. We get all kinds of mixed messages of what we should be like as men. And it's confusing. But we've got to, those who are worshipers of the Lord, we have got to start with what God says about us in Scripture. Not as you do some contemplative prayer by emptying your mind and seeing what pops into it. Forget that stuff. What does God's word say about you? Preach that to yourself over and over again, renewing your mind in that beautiful truth of what the Lord says. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word, work at being a godly man, which will make you a godly dad. Giving your kids an example to follow, and work and pray for wisdom to walk your kids into and through God's word. Dads, God didn't make a mistake. He made you the father of your kids. That was no mistake. You know what we need? We need a good dose of some spiritual guts to face our self-talk with God's word and tell ourselves, hey, I got it wrong. My wife, my work, my kids, my car, my house, my bank account, my reputation, that's not who I am. God, in His Word, has told me who I am. We need to get over ourselves and get into God and give our spiritual, our kids a spiritual, godly dad. That's what we need to do to bring praise to the Lord's name. Amen? Amen. This is what I want us to do. Oliver, can you do this? The screen. We sang this song before. It's that song that says, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord, our God," or on high. The words are going to be up there, just the chorus. Men, I want you to stand up with me, okay? You're shy, that's fine. I'm shy too. Let's be shy together. Guys, doesn't matter if you're a singer or not. I'm not a singer. We're going to sing this through two times. We're going to sing this together and proclaim these truths about God. And as a way of us stepping forward and saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm hanging on to your truth, and I'm going to step up my game here and grab my identity from you and have it rest in you." Okay? So someone's got to help us start singing this, because I'm going to butcher it. Father, this is our prayer. This is our proclamation. We want to be different. We don't want to coast. We don't want to grab our identity from what the world is saying. We don't want to come up with our own identity. We don't want to be shifting along with all these different identities. We want it to be secure and rest and finished in you, and from there move forward and be these godly men that are being godly dads to our kids, little kids, adult kids, doesn't matter. Father, would you do this work in us? Please do this work in us. We want to be your kind of man. We want the truth of Scripture to be for us. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We want to be all about you. We want to be all about you. Empower us to cling to what you say about us. Empower us to persevere in who you say that we are. Empower us to know your word, to feed ourselves on your word, not the TV, not the computer, not sports, not work, not video games, not fixing things, but the Bible. Empower us to guide our children in your word so that they would not go beyond your word. Glorify yourself in me, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's all stand.